Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
My message today is entitled this, Ask the Right Questions. As we continue in reshaping our society, we are fixing the things that we need to fix from the Word of God in our own lives, that we live out the promises of God in right context. And so today I want to position this message, Ask the Right Questions. When we're speaking to our God, ask the right questions. In our Canadian House of Commons, which is in Parliament for those that are listening overseas, they have a session on the days that they meet called Question Period. And this is a 45-minute session which is set aside so that the members of Parliament on opposing sides can ask questions of each other. Now, the key word here is that question period is so that opposing sides get to question each other on things and policies and procedures, and this is just a 45-minute time set aside. It's a good system because it holds each party accountable to responding to the questions of the opposition if they've refused to answer in the past. So now, let's take this question period and look in a biblical context where the Pharisees, who are supposed to be on the same side as Christ Jesus, they're to be living in obedience to the Word of God, and the Sadducees, who are to be in the same side as Jesus, living in obedience to the Word of God. It was the Torah then, they had it, and Christ came to fulfill it. So now, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the religious group of Jesus' day, they have initiated a question period, but they join forces with the opposition. That's something you won't really see in question period. Matthew chapter 22, verse 15 to 36, allow me to read this text. I'm going to read some of it. I'm going to read all of it. You will see some of it. And just trust that you are reading the word at home also. Matthew 22, verse 15, then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. They sent some of their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet with him. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial and you don't play favorites. Now, tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus knew their evil motives. You hypocrites, he said. Why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me the coin used for the tax. When they handed it to a Roman coin, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well, then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Verse 23, That same day, Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders who say there is no resurrection from the dead. They pose this question, teacher, Moses said if a man dies without children, his brother should marry the widow and have children who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there were seven brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children, so his brother married the widow. But the second brother also died and the third brother married her. This continued with all seven of them. Last of all, the woman also died. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all seven were married to her. Jesus replied, Your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. But now, as to whether there will be a resurrection of the dead, haven't you ever read about this in scriptures? Long ago, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, and God said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So he's the God of the living, not the dead. When the crowds heard him, they were astounded at his teaching. Verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question: Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Father, help us that we will ask the right questions, not the questions of the world, but the questions that will cause us to dig into the scripture so we understand it, know it, love it, and live it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Questions and denials. So this is a detrimental trait with so many people, even Christians today. Many people are predominantly skeptical about someone who is doing good things, but they generally are accepting of people who are doing things selfishly. Have you noticed that? If someone's doing something really good, I'm not sure they're good. And there's a questioning of good, but there's a denial of what the person with a good heart or a good spirit or good works is doing. But there's very accepting of all the evil practices around us. Oh, well, it's society. Oh, well, it's life. Oh, well, it's people. And we generally excuse evil, but we question good. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Matthew 22, the Sadducees, they're a religiously pious people. They're the leaders of that day in education. And the Pharisees, they're the social religious leaders. They're to be religious unto God, but they were the social construct of leadership. And now the Herodians, followers of Herod, they were politically motivated public fighters. And they all joined forces in an attempt to discredit Jesus by pitting him against either the law of Moses, the government, or the people. And in joining forces, they felt like masterminds. This will leave Jesus no choice. We're going to pin him. This is a clever move. Do you ever notice people who question the word of God? They're always trying to find something obscure to ask you. And they're like throwing one. They're like, no, this one you can't answer. And I've had that. I had that even recently with someone. And I said, you know what? If we knew everything in the Bible and had an explanation for everything, we'd be God. Hello? Sometimes we try too hard to be God to people who are asking questions. That's why the Bible says, do not be caught up in vain controversies. There are things that are vain, meaning it will go nowhere, it will prove nothing, and you will never win because they will keep digging to see if they can find a hole to get you to fall in. And so these similar groups earlier in Matthew did the same thing. They relentlessly tried to out-argue or to discredit Christ. But this group today that we're reading about in Matthew 22, they felt that while others have failed, we have a sure plan because we now have a politically motivated militant group joining with us, and this time we will bring Jesus down. Do you know there are people that just, they will even use Christians to bring the church down? Somebody talk to me today. Do you know there are people who will even allow evil people to use them right in the church to bring the church down? And you ask, what do we gain from all of this? It's just the enemy will stir someone, and be careful or you won't know that he's using you to bring a disrepute to the work of the Lord. And so now imagine, the evil secular mindset joined forces with the religiously evil intention with one goal. Let's work together to see how we could trap Jesus. It says it right in the scripture. So the first group, the Herodians, they were militant fighters. They were everyday protesters. Don't you get tired of seeing people who just protest every day? It's okay to protest. I mean, I've been out in the protest. Leave my children. Okay, I went out with it because we need to protest some things. The church should never just be without even standing up for right or wrong. But everyday protesters drive you crazy. Well, the Herodians, they were everyday protesters. They only served Herod. And so they had this setup question. Should they pay the required taxes to Caesar? Well, Governor Caesar, and then you've got King Herod. The law is you pay taxes. Right now, for those of you not in Canada, we're in tax season. Pay your taxes. Because if you don't pay your taxes, when they call, catch you. Don't come and ask pastor to pray for you because you didn't pay your taxes. There was no, this was a no-brainer. It was a politically motivated question that both the Sadducees and the Pharisees joined in, because paying taxes had nothing to do with the Sadducees or the Pharisees. This was Herod, and this was the Herodians fighting a political fight. Then the Sadducees. Now, they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, and they, because, here's why, they preferred the lifestyle of living as you want. This is the Sadducees. And under, they wanted to live under God's name, because, but they did not want to change their behavior. So they didn't want the ministry or the teaching or the word about consequences and eternal life. See, there's a lot of people now that don't want to focus on eternal life because they'd have to change their earthly living. Somebody say amen in the house today. See, people don't really want you to talk about Jesus' coming back because it means they may have to fix some things about how they serve the Lord. And so the Sadducees, they didn't want anything to do with the resurrection, because the resurrection meant that God is in control, Christ is the Son of God, and that we're all going to have to stand judgment before God. They wanted nothing to do with that. They did not want consequences for their sinfulness. That is a DNA of our day today. The third group were the Pharisees. They believed in the resurrection, but did not believe in the supernatural. And yet they kept seeing Jesus perform the supernatural. Therefore, they kept denying what they saw because their intellect said it can't happen. If you go back through Matthew, you've heard us preach it over and over. The Pharisees oppose him because he's a lame man or a blind man or whatever Jesus did in the supernatural. They opposed it because in their own intellectual mindset, miracles don't happen. Can I tell you right now, I serve a God of miracles and he's still doing miracles today. Online, I trust you're believing him for miracles. So here are the three issues, the Herodians' issues. I keep saying Herodians, Herod. The Herodians. The Herodians were a political group who only favored and fought for Herod because Herod was a wicked, unconscionable king, and that he would appease their ruthlessness and the way they dealt with people. He would never stop them. So they were just so sold out for Herod, they almost made him a god. Not almost, they made him a god. They had no love for the God of heaven. They had no love for people. They only had a love for a good fight, and Herod would allow them to be like that because they defended him. Does anyone know people who just love a good fight? Anybody know anybody? Let me see. And that's why you cannot try to outfight them. You have to ask God for the wisdom of God to move around them. And so the Herodians enjoyed this extremely secular lifestyle. They were coarse, they were egotistical, and they were unbelieving of any god but Herod. They loved revolts, they were logic defying, and they did not accept the supernatural. The Torah to them was not for them, because the Torah had laws about doing good for others. And so they were not compatible with either the Sadducees or the Pharisees. And yet, they chose to join together. Here it is in verse 16 to 17. The Pharisees and the Sadducees sent some of their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet him. Teacher, they said, we know you are honest. You teach the ways of God truthfully. You're impartial and you don't play favorite. Now tell us about this. Is it right to pay tax to Caesar or not? Can you just unpack that for a moment? They're coming and they're bringing their accolades to Jesus. You ever seen someone set you up with compliments just so they can destroy you? And when you hear the compliment coming, you're like, okay, brace yourself. That's what they did. They're like, teacher. Teacher. See, the Pharisees many times wouldn't call Jesus teacher, but today, teacher. That's a sweet word. And then it says, we know you are honest. Okay, Jesus was honest the whole time, but they didn't want to acknowledge it. If I'm honest, then believe what I'm saying. Hello? And then they said, you teach the way of God truthfully. Well, you've always been opposing me, and since you know I teach it truthfully, then why are you not accepting it? And they said, you're impartial and you don't play favorites. Okay, so I'm clean cut and I'm doing what God called me to do. So what's the problem? Shouldn't we be on the same team? Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Hello? That is not a question from Pharisees or Sadducees. Go pay your taxes. Evil forces will disregard their stance for evil victory. They disregarded the law, the word of God, the power of Christ. They disregarded the truth of the word. They disregarded what Christ stood for, all to get their own evil victory. Folks, in this day that we're living, let us remember that we live under the word of God, by the word of God, for the word of God, to the word of God, and nothing shall change. So when they joined forces with the other two religious groups without a cause, they did it because for the Herodians, they did not want to lose their secular culture. They did not want to lose their structural setting. And they did not want to lose their societal status. That was their reason for joining. It was about them. It was about their setting and their culture and their status. And there are people who will fight for the wrong things just so that they can be the head of all things. The real question here today is, what do you think about the reign of Jesus? That is the real question. Their question was to tear down the reign of Christ. Ours is, Christ, what am I doing wrong that I can fix so I will honor the reign of my Lord? Are you hearing me today? Because Christ is superior to logic, to reasoning, to education, and to all forms of existence. So let's move to the Sadducees' issue. They felt compelled to hold a liberal position about death and resurrection because their entire financial status was wrapped up in them not losing the system they created. See, in the Old Testament law of Moses, there was a family lineage created. That's when they came, remember they came through, when they crossed over Jordan, Moses distributed the land, and the land went to the different tribes, and the tribes dispersed it to the different families. And so the way you kept your property was that you always had to keep the name going. Many of you would understand that if you're from countries where this is the family land, this is the family name. Mind you, nowadays there's so much family fight that sometimes one family takes all a family, but you know how it is. It kind of goes down that road and you just have to let it go. Somebody say amen this morning. Online someone said, what? Go, Pastor. You know what I'm talking about today. And so in that system, if you married outside of the family lineage, you would lose your property, which meant you lose your prosperity, which meant you lost your power. And so the holdings of the property since the time of Moses was important to them, but now we're under the time of Christ where everything's changed. They're no longer living even in the same places. They're now in Jerusalem, which was not even a part of when Moses allocated the land. So you see how deceived people can be. And so here they are, a group, these are now the Sadducees, and they're now challenging the words of God because of their own selfish intent. They don't want to lose their possession. They don't want to lose prosperity. They don't want prosperity, by the way, it's not just financial. You know what? If you're healthy, you're prosperous. If you got family, you're prosperous. If you got the blessings of God over you, you're prosperous. You got a job, you're prosperous. You got a home, you're prosperous. You got a vehicle, you're prosperous. If you're taking the bus and you can buy your bus tickets, you're prosperous. Hallelujah. They didn't want to lose possession. They didn't want to lose their position in what they had in society, and they didn't want to lose power. And so because of that, they came to question Jesus with a ridiculous question. And they're asking about a widow marrying seven brothers and they all die. And then whose wife is she in the resurrection? Think about it. If you're going to ask a question, don't ask a foolish one. I mean, come on. You know, if seven brothers, they could have stopped at three, make it a little believable. Earthly logic and godly revelation are not the same things. So the situation seemed logical to them, but here's the thing, folks, we got to be careful. The spirit of their questioning was self-righteous, unbelieving, and self-incriminating and misguiding. And yet they're going, teacher, you always tell the truth. Do you see the piousness that's going on here? Folks, we've got to be careful, but Jesus just answered them, and this is what we need to remember. He says, you don't know the scripture. You think you know the scripture, but you don't. And then Jesus reminded them, you don't know the power of God. See, they refused to see the power at work because they didn't want it to affect what they considered important. And that's all those things I named before. They did not trust the messages of Christ. They preferred their own self-righteous indignation. And that is a thing now that is happening around the world, is a self-rising and a glamoring. And nowadays, if something major is happening, what the media will do is get someone who's been controversial or someone who's got, are known for something, and they get them as a profile to speak so that people will listen. But people are not noticing that person has no right to speak because they have no integrity themselves. Folks, that's why we're going to change culture. We need to honor integrity and not listen to people who should not be speaking because they have no integrity in their lives. And here's the thing, they did not understand the concept of heaven. That is why they were striving so hard for their worldly concept. They refused to let their mind receive the revelations of Christ. And so they were stuck on the laws and traditions of Moses. But Jesus came to fulfill the Torah, to fulfill the law that Moses was given. And so the idea of a spiritual world is perplexing to the natural man because logic will not let your mind go where God wants to take you. And if you're stuck and not focusing on the Holy Spirit, we're going to be having Holy Spirit seminar coming up this, don't remember where, June 8th. And you need to come into those Holy Spirit classes and learn who God the Holy Spirit is. Because if not, your logic can drive you mad and your logic can cause you to not recognize the resurrection of Christ is a sure thing and he's coming soon. So folks, we don't understand only by education and teaching. We understand Christ by coming in faith. We receive the words of Christ by faith. Hello? If it was by intellect or by education, Einstein would be teaching the Bible. Romans 10:16-17, but not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Faith is driven, is arises. And so every generation, folks, has its set of Sadducees. That's people who are liberal-minded and scoffing at the supernatural. Do you know why liberal-minded people like the Sadducees scoff at the supernatural? Do you know why online? Because their mind has everything in a linear box that only men can devise. But when God hurls in a supernatural, no logic can explain it. No education can tear it apart. How many people have had a miracle that you can't even explain how God did that for you? Hallelujah. Online, how many of you that God did such a miracle when you thought there was no way out, he made a way. That's why we sing, he made a way where there was no way. That is why when you think about it, the Sadducees, they're coming from generations that walked through the Red Sea. Do you think that there was an explanation for the water holding itself up as a wall and them walking on dry land and then the water filling in and killing all those who were trying to destroy God's people? There's no explanation for the supernatural. You accept it by faith, you thank God for it, and you look to see many more miracles. So folks, the question again is, what do you think about Christ Jesus today? Are you like the Herodians, just fighting with logic? Are you like the Sadducees trying to deny the resurrection because this way you can live any way you want and sin and profess Christ, but it doesn't work because the word of the Lord is altogether right? And so the last group is the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but they did not want to believe in the supernatural. So they wanted to destroy Jesus so that the supernatural happenings, which they couldn't have explained, would stop. And the Pharisees, they were in control of the religious culture, but like the Herodians, they feared losing control more than anything else. They were the ones at the city gate. They were the ones that established what Israel could do. They were the ones the Romans would come to and set laws and have their leaders meet with the Roman emperors. And so all of these things were happening, but I want you to know the spiritual world supersedes the physical world. The spiritual world supersedes the physical world. And that is why in North America, we are despairing because we've given the physical world more credence than the supernatural world. God is a spirit, and they that worship him shall worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. One commentary says these things, and listen to this carefully. It says, the scientific society questions what it cannot prove. The materialistic society questions what it cannot use to satisfy its own lust for more and more materialism. The immoral society questions what it fears may correct its behavior. The secularized, worldly society questions what it fears will restrain its lust for pleasures. And the power-grabbing society questions what it fears will lose its grip on its forceful power-broking and will cause them to lessen authority in the world they live in. So you've got the scientific, materialistic, immoral, secularized, power-grabbing society, and they all have fears, and the fear is, if I allow God to be in control, I'm not in control. But believers, we need to be very cautious today, because these three groups were challenging the words of God. And the Pharisees, the last group, they were the teachers of the law, but they began to try to prove Christ wrong. They're speaking, you speak the truth. And you are of God, and you know the word, but we will not submit to the word. We will not sacrifice our lives before Christ, and we will not surrender to the truth that you're giving us. That is, isn't that today? Somebody online, isn't that just like today? So the real question, if we're to stand against the DNA of our secularized culture, is what do you think about Jesus today? Do you really believe? Because you see, the question period they initiated brought together three opposing sides and they joined forces with poor intentions. The Herodians, tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes or not? Politically motivated. The Sadducees, teacher, Moses says if a man dies without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who carry on his brother's name. What do you do in the resurrection? They did not want to conceive the resurrection because they'd have to change the wickedness of their own lives. And the Pharisees, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Well, that most important commandment is also in Deuteronomy. And the Pharisees were the teachers of Deuteronomy. So they already knew it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And now Jesus reminds them, and love others as you love yourself. Matthew 22:46, when Jesus finished speaking, as he refuted them all, he refuted them with their natural logic. He refuted them against their supernatural denial. And then he responded and baffled them, leaving them speechless to see how wrong they were. Matthew 22 says, no one could answer him. And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. Folks, Hebrews 2 verse 1 says, we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we too will drift away from it. As we sit under the word week after week, in-house, online, we must ensure that we're applying the word of God. We must ensure we're applying the word of God. If we just hear it, it's mental assent, but it intellectual assent, but it has no truth to it. Because we're not rightly dividing the word of God. Many people don't want to rightly divide the word of God because there's so many issues that they're struggling with that they refuse to let go of. So what are your issues today? True godliness comes from knowing and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So can I ask you, are you defying your appetite to focus on your own demands for the secular culture, secular settings, and societal status? You've got to defy it and deny it. Because if we don't purposely do that, we will be no different than the Herodians. Are you recognizing that there's a lure for possession, prosperity, position, and power, and it's destroyed many? And in order for it not to destroy you, because it's very subtle, are you focused on the truth of the word of Christ so that when the resurrection that they were trying to deny comes, you'll be standing and he'll say, well done. What is he going to say? Good and faithful servant. And the last question is this. Are you positioned to submit to a greater power, the Lord Jesus Christ? To sacrifice your position and allow the Lord to reign supreme. And best of all, most of all, most important of all, to surrender unto the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, whether I preach this word or not, every person here has a Bible, has a phone with the Bible on it, an app with the Bible. Unlike cultures and communities that had no Bibles, I remember going into places and villages where they had one Bible. And they would rip out pages and one would memorize it, then they'd pass it on to others. We have at least 5, 6, 7, 8. But are we living according to the word of God? And if that's the case, let me ask this question. What is the attitude or the essence of your spiritual stance today? What is it? I can't answer that. I can't answer but for myself. And that means I have to check everything in myself to see if my motivation and my motives is to always honor God. Or is there something in me that always has to prove myself right? Prove my way. Prove I'm powerful. Prove I'm rich. Prove I'm famous. Prove. If there's something in us, what is your spiritual stance? What is the attitude and the essence of your spiritual stance, your spiritual behavior? Folks, we're going to change society when we ask ourselves the right question. It's question period. And the one thing I would say to us, don't join forces with people with evil intentions. That's what the word was teaching us today. But ensure that your intentions are, God, even if I did it wrong, I was doing it with a right thinking, believing I'm doing it right unto you. Do you know God will excuse you if you get it wrong, but you were doing it right? Hello? Do you know the Lord will forgive you if you mess up, but your intentions were good, not evil? You see, evil intention produces evil. Good intention may have a wrong path, but God, by His Holy Spirit, will steer you back because you had a good heart and a good mind.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.